Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. So what's the hoot on owls? I posted a few photos on social media last week with me holding a few owls. I was filming at the Avian Wildlife Center with my great friend Giselle Smisco, director of the center. From my postings, I had so many people ask me questions about owls. I went to a family party Saturday night, and I was barraged by people who saw the photo, and they wanted to know all about owls. Did you know that worldwide there are 200 different species of owls? I'm going to give you my favorites. No specific order. The barred and the screech owl. I see them most often, so maybe that's the reason why. But there are barn owls, great horned owls, short and long-eared owls, and of course, the snowy owl. The tiniest owl is the elf owl. Elf in the movie, well, he was really large, but the elf owl is only 5 to 6 inches tall and weighs 1.5 ounces. I guess that's why he's got the name elf. You can find him living in a saguaro cactus, or cacti, I should say, plural, because there's many of them, in the southwestern United States, also into Mexico. So let me give you a cool owl fact or two that will make your head spin around. That's a play on words, you get it? Because people think that owls can move their heads 360 degrees quite around. They're thinking like exorcist. No, it doesn't work that way. Their head rotation is 270 degrees in one direction, but the owl rotates quickly around to the other side, so it appears that his head is going all the way around. No, it does not. But when you see it move, and I've actually filmed with some baby barred owls with Giselle, and you just see them move because we had some food, we're feeding them. And, you know, see, her job is to get any of the raptors. Actually, people bring all different types of birds in there. Her job is to rehabilitate them and get them back into the wild. If she can't get them back into the wild, they are used for education purposes. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. The two senses that make owls unique are vision and hearing. And you hear me say this often, like, nature is cool. Now watch this. The owl has tubular-shaped eyes. The best analogy is that it's like you're seeing through a pair of binoculars. So it makes sense that he's farsighted. So if you think about you using a pair of binoculars, what it would be like and how you use them. So think about the owl's sight like that. The large eyes help it to see better in the dark because, hey, you all know that he is a nocturnal creature. The hearing of an owl is spectacular. He is able to pinpoint sound. So I'll give you a really neat example on this one. So say you got a barred owl perched up in a tree and 100 yards away. So think about the length of a soccer football field away, that length. A mouse could be walking under the snow. The barred owl will leave his perch, fly all the way across, pierce with his razor sharp talons, and enjoy his takeout meal. Because he good. He just took it out of the snow. Get it? Anyway, the talons of any bird of prey make it a fierce predator, including our good buddy, the owl. The owl is now, catch this word, zygodactyl. And you go, well, sounds like a pretty cool, yeah, it is a cool thing. It means it has 2 forward-facing toes and 2 backward-facing toes. What makes him unique is he can pivot one of his back toes forward. That's pretty neat. The vocalization varies from species to species. As I mentioned before, 2 of my favorites, the barred owl. And many times birders, they put words to some of the things or some of the calls that birds will do. So we get to sort of understand who is calling, get it, who, owl. Because most people, you know, when you were a little kid, all you read in the book is the owl says who. Well, the owls, plural, say many different things other than who. Well, the barred owl, if you listen to him, he says, who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? So if you listen to his call, you will actually hear that in his call. It's just an easier way to identify him. And the screech owl, he has this really spooky whinny. It's actually been used on horror films. And you know what? He is often calling in the pine tree right outside my bedroom window. And I'm not exaggerating. At night, I will just sit there and listen to it for hours. I am a sound sleeper, I guess, unless I have my screech owl alarm clock. If he's outside there calling, well, I am listening. The Audubon Society has an annual Christmas count of birds across the entire globe. I have been on the owl count for them. This is where you, again, it's like pieces of the puzzle, and I've been in a Hatfield swamp, and you hike all night long, and one specifically, and it was really great, and I was with the great Dr. Kunin out there for an evening, and we're out there, and it was a full moon, and we just had this light crust of snow. So it was like hiking in daylight all night long. Really spectacular. Got my good buddy, Dr. Dan. You see, a lot of people will use actual mechanical, you know, some type of recording of different birds. They're calling and owls. Well, Dr. Dan's voice, he does the world's greatest. If he was somewhere and you couldn't see him, you would think a barred owl was calling. So Dr. Dan would call out and an owl would call back in response. And people always ask me, they go, well, as you're hiking along, so how do you know you're not counting the same owl? So say you heard a barred owl and you went down half a mile, you heard a barred owl. People are going, well, maybe it's the same one. No, you see, owls, like all animals, are territorial. So they're going to call to defend their territory. This is the first thing that happens. I give you this in response to defending their territories. When I was out doing my wolf research and we wanted to locate a pack, we would go out, hey, and I would call. And it wasn't just me, because sometimes we do a solo call or a duet call or a chorus call. And the wolves would call back in response because they are defending their territory. It is the same with the owls. So what makes the owl the perfect night hunter is his stealth in flight. So I give you an example, and I could use them here in the studio, but you may or may not hear it. I actually filmed with Giselle and had two of them. I can take a red tail hawk feather right now and move it up and down in front of this microphone, and you would hear a little, maybe a, so to speak, a humming sound or a buzzing sound. And if I took an owl feather and kept doing it up and down as hard as I could, there would be no sound. So the owl has pierced his talons in you before you know he's there. That's the stealth that he has. The feathers, they also insulate the owl from both the hot and the cold. Social media I can't even talk, I'm so excited here. The social media photo of me with the barred owl and Giselle. Well, you look at the barred owl head, and that was the one, when I was telling you, I was at my family party, and the head is huge. And people are going, hey, his head's larger than yours. Well, not quite, but Giselle took her finger, put her finger through the feathers, and showed how far her index finger had to go down till it actually hit the cranium, because most of the head is feather, because most of the bird are feathers. They look like these, and again, many animals have larger feathers, and this is so they look like an even larger predator than they are. Well, there is an important ecological factor to the owl. So let's go to some of our good old friends, some mice. Two adult mice have babies, and their offspring begin to reproduce very quickly after that. In 1 year, and there are estimates on this, in 1 year, those two mice and all of their offspring and their reproduction will reproduce between 1 and 200,000 mice per year. Yes, that is a correct number. Well, owls and snakes have a definite role in controlling the rodent population. So there's an importance to the owls, and you know me from listening to my other shows, you know that I love snakes as well. Well, there are rodent collection agency, we'll call it that. The digestive process of an owl feeding on a rodent, it's just absolutely amazing. They swallow the mouse whole, digest the meat, packages the fur and the bone, and regurgitates these parts. This is called an owl pellet. You know, nature is so cool when you think about, like, think about swallowing something that had meat, fur, bones, and you go, no, no, I only want the meat. I'm going to get rid of the fur and the bones. And the digestive system will actually wrap the fur around the bones so you don't get cut, coming back up, regurgitates it back up. Well, these owl pellets, they're often used in biology classes. I'm going to say middle school straight through college. Students will use gloves because now we use gloves for everything. And that's okay too. I joke a little bit, but that's serious. And we want to make sure people are safe. And they'll be asked to take apart the pellet, to separate out all the bones, and then reconstruct the skeletal system to see, was it a mouse, a mole, a vole, a small rat, whatever it is. And their job is to ID the specific animal. So it is a great learning tool. And these pellets usually come from the owls that are in captivity. To find an owl in the wild, I look for two things. One is whitewash on a tree. Most times it is because they're looking for great cover. So the great cover many times is a pine tree of some sort. It doesn't have to be, but that gives them great cover and great warmth too and protection. The whitewash actually is their scat running down a tree. So I'm looking for the whitewash. And then after that, I'm looking for the pellets. You want to be able to find them at a safe distance. Because, you know, hey, think about this. They were up all night long doing what owls do, as I explained. And now you're finding them daytime. You're hiking along. And you want to just give them safe distance. Let them sleep. Let them be protected. Use your spotting scopes. That's why they invented cameras with zoom lenses. One of my Christmas counts, we found a parliament of long-eared owls. It was so neat. A parliament is a name for a group of owls. I want to thank Tamara Ugaro for the use of the photo that you're seeing right now for this podcast show. Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. So I hope you have learned many awesome facts today, and you now have the hoot on owls. Until next time, enjoy life's adventure.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.